You are listening to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO on this Open Mic Friday, May the 30th, in the year of our Lord 2014. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, your host for this day, and being an Open Mic Friday, it means that you can call in with any theological question on your mind. 821-0850, that's the St. Louis number. Or even in St. Louis or anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. And we're only too happy to take any theological question, but I've got a question for you. I need some help. Received a message last night, actually it was a phone call from one of our listeners in California, and she was talking about that she had a dear friend who had a mother who is in a hospice. I believe it's overseas. And this lady, we're not really sure she's a Christian, but she really is interested in knowing what Christianity teaches. So the question to me was, what booklet, what paper, what manuscript could we send to her? And the more I got thinking about it, if you go to lawandgospel101.com, we have a number of products there for sale, books, things like that. But the more I thought about it, they're really geared for people who have been Christians. And even though there are some subjects that talk more about the Christian faith, like close communion, homosexuality, and such, they're by and large kind of written for people who have some good understanding of Christianity. So maybe you have had a book recently that you've read that really made a difference in thinking about Christianity. If you do, don't hesitate to call me, or you can email me. My email address is lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. And the word and is spelled out. lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. By the way, if you go to the website, lawandgospel101.com, remember, you get a free copy of my analysis of Heaven is for Real. I just got an email from Issues Etc. of somebody looking for that information, and it's free. All you do is give me your name and email address, and then you indicate this is what I wanted to be doing, and don't hesitate. We'll be glad to get back to you, and you will receive a free copy. Okay, our numbers here are 314-821-0850, toll-free 1-800-730-2727, and we're looking for someone who would suggest to me a pretty good book or something that they've read that really helped them understand the Christian faith. Or we're also looking for anybody who has a theological question at all. Now, we can, of course, turn people to the Bible, but unfortunately, when you take a look at the Bible, a lot of times you're just trying to figure out, well, what have they got to say in the Bible? You see, there's 27 books in the New Testament. Why? Because there's kind of 27 different ways that people have come to understand God's holy word. Okay, I think we're ready to go, and I think we're going to be going to talk with Steve. Hi, Steve, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, yeah. I would like to know about what you loose on earth, you loose in heaven, and you know, how that applies exactly, what your thoughts are.
Okay, can you give me the Bible verse you're talking about?
Oh, I think it's Matthew 18, and I believe it's verse maybe 14 or somewhere in there.
Okay, so these are words of Jesus then?
Yes.
All righty. Let me take a look at that here. As
around when we get together, I am always with you. Jesus is always with us. Right before that, I believe he says, "What you loose on earth, you loose in heaven."
Okay.
What you bind on earth, you bind in heaven. What you loose on earth, you loose in heaven.
Oh. That actually, I believe, is also found in John on the night of the resurrection. Let me read the passage that I think would be more helpful here. It's the John chapter 21. It's the very last chapter where Jesus says to the disciples, he appears to them, and actually it's in John chapter 20. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Then he says in verse 23, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. And some of the translations would talk about loosing the sins or binding the sins. Is that the context?
Well, yeah, but I did read it in Matthew 18 to this morning. So.
Okay. That would be verse 18. He's talking about those who are unrepentant. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
Right. It's hard to understand sometimes that we could affect heaven that way, because heaven is God's realm, not our realm. So how could we loose or bind anything here that affects heaven?
Okay, let me ask you this. Are you a member of the church?
Well, I'm a member of a church, and I believe in God and Jesus.
Right. So you would call yourself a Christian.
Yes.
Every parable begins with either the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is like. It's not referring to the place only where God is. The kingdom of heaven in the Bible also refers to the Holy Christian Church. So you are within the kingdom of heaven right now, Steve. In other words, if a congregation, and remember, this is somebody who sinned against you, you go and tell him his fault between you and him alone, and if he does not listen to you, then you have to take someone else along. This is a passage that they do use for excommunication, where you indicate to somebody that he's being excommunicated, not because of a sin he's done per se, but because of unrepentance in regard to that sin. And therefore, if he repents, you forgive or loose that sin. If he doesn't repent, you don't forgive or bind that sin, and God recognizes that in heaven if it's done properly according to his command.
Okay.
Okie doke?
That's pretty good. Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling.
Bye-bye.
All righty. We're just going to go down the line here now, and we're going to be talking to Rick. Hi, Rick.
Good morning, Pastor. How are you today?
Very good.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to kind of get your, your opinion or your thoughts as far as I listened. I was raised a Lutheran, been in a Lutheran church all my life, but I also am very interested in, have you ever heard of R.C. Sproul?
Yes.
Okay. He teaches more of a Calvinistic type theology. Well, he calls it, it's a Reformed theology.
Yes.
And, one of my questions, or my direct question, I know there's, slight differences there, but as far as the actual, because to me, I still feel like the salvation process in and of itself is somewhat of a mystery. I mean, we know we're taught in Romans the predestination. I mean, when you read Paul talking there about, the chain and that type of thing, what's your opinion on, the salvation process and maybe how you might differ from somebody like R.C. Sproul?
Well, what I'd be saying is we don't really consider it a process in the sense of it's something that you climb up like a ladder or something along that lines. What we would be talking about is salvation is that which occurs instantaneously when the word or the sacrament has an impact on a person. So if I'm talking to someone and I mention that Jesus is their Savior, he died on the cross for their sins. And remember on the road to Damascus, Saul, who then became Paul, had a confrontation with Jesus. And who are you? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. That's all that Paul had to hear, and he came to faith instantaneously by the power of the Holy Spirit, and later, of course, was baptized. So we don't see that as a process. We believe, teach, and confess that when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for the sins of every individual. Therefore, what we're trying to share with individuals is the good news: their sins have already been forgiven. And when they hear that, the Holy Spirit can create faith in their heart, and they trust that. R.C. Sproul, on the other hand, being of Reformed theology, have you ever heard of TULIP?
Absolutely.
Yes. So the worst thing that TULIP says is limited atonement, which means that Christ only died for the elect. And there is no way that anybody can figure out whether they are part of the elect in Reformed theology. Because for us, baptism is the assurance that we have been brought into salvation with Christ, because he promises that he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But in Reformed theology, you have what's called double predestination, where God not only predestines people to heaven, he also predestines people to hell. And I've never been able to listen to a Reformed individual and figure out how they can be sure they are saved. They always have to look within themselves to see if they have the right works or this kind of thing, whereas we take a look objectively at the promise that God gave us in holy baptism. That would be one significant difference.
And I do apologize for using the word process. I meant what I was trying to convey there was more just when I try to myself read the scriptures and understand how salvation works, I've kind of just learned to accept that, you know what, I can't completely understand how God does things, and so that's kind of what I was wanting, you know. I know he does convey certain things, but the way that salvation does occur, like you said, instantly, you know, I've got some people in my life, like I've had one friend that, you know, I witnessed to for many, many years, and a lot of times it wasn't just verbal witness. I just tried to, the best I could, display what it is to be a Christian, and, you know, for probably a decade, never once did he come to Christ, but then all of a sudden, boom.
Yes.
It was like a miracle happened that he came to Christ, and it's just, you know, those kind of instances, they're awesome, but I just didn't, you know, it's kind of a mystery sometimes.
Yes, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Romans, chapter 10, let me ask you these two questions, Rick. Do you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord?
Oh, absolutely.
And you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead?
Yes.
Guess what the next phrase is? You will be saved.
Yes.
So the assurance of our salvation through faith comes about, but the absolute assurance from our point of view comes about because of our doctrine of baptism, where God promises, according to Acts chapter 2, Peter says, when the people said, "What shall we do? We've killed the Messiah." And Peter makes the point, well, there's nothing you're going to do. There's something that's going to be done to you. It's a passive. Be baptized, and you receive two gifts, the gift of the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, where your body now is the temple of the Holy Spirit. There is absolutely no evidence for those things, but we believe them because God promises it.
Do you believe that that simply the process of baptism guarantees that the Holy Spirit enters that person, or that he may enter that person?
No, we believe, teach, and confess, and that's why we baptize infants, that there's a promise connected there. However, one can fall from their baptism. Now, let me give you an example, an analogy for that. Can an adopted child ever not be adopted any longer by the parents who adopted him?
Yeah, no, I mean, well, can an adopted child be adopted again? Is that what you asked?
No, can they forfeit their adoption?
Oh, yeah.
That's right. When they become an age of accountability, they can go to court and renege on their adoption, and immediately they lose their inheritance rights. That can happen to a baptized Christian who decides he no longer believes in Jesus Christ, and through unbelief, therefore, loses the promises connected to baptism. The thing I want to stress, though, is every person who does that is well aware of it. So if you're ever worried that you've done it, then you haven't done it, because you wouldn't be worried about it. It's not because you sin that you lose your baptismal covenant. It's because you move into unbelief and you're well aware that you no longer believe in Jesus. Maybe you become a Mormon or a Muslim or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, that's helpful. I think the two theologies seem to be close, but like you said, there is that double predestination, and I'm not sure where I fall exactly, but I do know that I'm saved. I know it's all of God. It's a miraculous thing that He did for me, and I thank Him every day for it. But I've kind of sometimes been like, well, I'm just not quite sure how it worked, but I know it is there.
I'm a pastor. I don't explain God. I reveal God. You tell me how a morsel of bread, in with and under it is the body of Christ, and a sip of wine, in with and under it is the blood of Christ. That doesn't make any sense to me at all, but I believe it, because once God says it, that settles it.
Absolutely.
Okie doke.
Thank you so much, and God bless you.
Thank you so much for calling. And we're just going to keep on moving down the line, and let's go speak with, is this Steve? Steve, you're on the air.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. Are you Steve?
Yes, I am.
Okay, go ahead, Steve.
You mentioned about books for somebody. Three that I would recommend would be, one, just the small Luther's Catechism, the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, etc.
Yes.
Another one would be The Spirituality of the Cross by Jean Edward Veith. I like that.
Yes.
And then The Lutheran Difference. I think that's excellent as far as comparing different Christian denominations.
Oh, that's right. And those all are CPH brochures.
Yes.
I'm going to take a look, because I've got all three of those. This is a person who is somewhat ignorant of Christianity, but is interested in knowing more about it. So,
right.
Absolutely, Luther's Small Catechism. That would be a great one. In fact, even the Large Catechism, because he expands on that.
It might get a little complicated sometimes, I think, but, yeah.
Well, I sure appreciate those. Thank you very much for calling, Steve.
Yeah, okay, bye-bye.
God bless. Yes, by the way, in case you missed the first part of the program, I had a listener from California asking me what three books, or what books at all, would be good for somebody who's interested in the Christian faith. And Steve is the first who's responded. Spirituality of the Cross by Jean Edward Veith. That's V-E-I-T-H. He's often on KFUO here. And all three of those books that he indicated are available from Concordia Publishing House. Because the lady is overseas, I'm trying to also get books that are PDF in form, which means you can put them in an email and send them to her, and she can have them printed out or read it off the computer screen, because it's kind of hard to send things overseas. Sometimes it takes 6 weeks to get there. But I sure appreciate that call. And anybody else who might have a book that was very helpful for them in trying to understand this would be real helpful. Yeah, The Spirituality of the Cross, I believe it's the last chapter where he talks about in his search for what faith to follow or what denomination, he puts it this way, that he suddenly realized that he was a Lutheran. And, you know, it's my contention, and I'm not, you know, trying to say something bad to anybody, but I really truly believe that every Christian in their heart, they do have Lutheran understanding of Scripture. And I've given many examples of how in their denomination they might believe you have to make a decision or you have to do faith plus works or you have to do penance or this sort of thing. But when you ask every Christian, okay, what does it mean that you want to give the total credit to Jesus Christ when you get to heaven, doesn't that show that these other beliefs that you have are incorrect because you are taking part of the credit? Let's go back to the phone lines and let's speak with Bob. Hi, Bob. You're on the air.
Hello, Pastor Baker.
Yes.
I know you're very familiar with this magazine, but Good News Magazine. There's so many good issues that are so utterly simple to understand that I would just remind you of those.
Well, that's a great point to make. In fact, I have every copy of the Good News magazines. In fact, I have multiple copies because I had a store and I had them in there. And I'm going to be taking a look through some of them. My favorite one, guess what, is Law and Gospel.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, I see you're from Wisconsin.
Yes, sir.
I was just up in Eau Claire.
Okay.
Yeah, I was doing a series of lectures for pastors, congregations, seminars, sermons, Bible classes, and it was really nice up there. You know, the greenery was just starting to come out.
Oh, yeah.
I was in Altoona. What area are you from?
Cedarburg.
Oh, Cedarburg.
We have a new pastor.
Oh, who's that?
You're one of your pastors. Tim, Pastor Tim.
Oh, my. Sure.
Yeah.
Well, so, God blessing on that. And I want to thank you very much for calling, and we'll sure keep in touch. And I appreciate that information on the Good News.
Very good. And I really appreciate Good News.
Oh, I do too. Okay. You know, the latest one just came out. It's on Psalm 23.
Yes.
You get that copy yet?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And how do you like that center section? It pulls out to four pages.
Fantastic.
It really is. I appreciate the call. Good reminder. Thank you.
Okay.
God bless.
Same back to you.
Okay. Well, we're just about out of time. I'm not going to take any more calls at this point, but I'm going to be contacting the lady from California who asked me about this. These are some good suggestions. Part of the problem with Good News, and we've tried to do this, is put it on the computer so that you could send it to someone. But Good News has so many beautiful photos in it from museums that it's just too much to send in an email. And particularly a lot of computers overseas aren't as sophisticated, and it would take like sometimes an hour and a half to 2 hours to download it. So I know Wallace Schultz and his wife are working on that problem, but right now we have hard copy, and the latest one is definitely Psalm 23. If you don't have a copy of it, you really need to subscribe to Good News. Their number is, it's an 800 number, 1-800-778-1132. That's 1-800-778-1132. And you will be most appreciative. The back copies, a number of them are also still available. And they'll send you a list of those. And they're pretty inexpensive to get back copies. But we would encourage you, of course, to go ahead and also subscribe. Okie doke. Well, that kind of takes care of our program for today. On Monday, guess what's coming up the following Sunday? It's one of the great festivals of the Christian church, Pentecost. But if I was to ask you, what person of the Holy Trinity is emphasized on Pentecost? If you said the Holy Spirit, that's not correct. And that's what we're going to be talking about on Monday in preparation for the Pentecost coming the Sunday thereafter. I'm Tom Baker. Thanks so much. I'm in Havana, Illinois, Saturday and Sunday, preaching and Bible classes. Till Monday, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.